Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Phil Vacchio.
Hello, Phil.
Good morning, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combination of us, or Jay Marie or Kim, are here every single weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law, wills and trusts, long-term care at home, long-term care elsewhere, unfortunately.
Wherever.
It's a call-in show. I heard, John, there were three, one.
I wasn't here, but I heard three. Yeah.
Not two.
Yeah. Jane Marie and Kim were here last week.
I'm a little jealous.
So
what's the deal with that?
I don't know.
518-476-5900 is the call-in number, if you dare.
Yeah. Let's beat it. Let's do four this week, guys.
When Phil and I and John are not here on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning.
Yeah, something happens.
We are in the office, one of our four offices. It's right. Albany, Saratoga Springs, Queensbury, or Kingston. And you could reach us and schedule a consult with one of us by calling 518-465-7581, but the call in here, 476-5900. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm cold, you know, like everybody else.
It's been a rough week. Those temperatures.
Rough weeks. Oh,
well, yeah. I mean, this week in particular.
It's going to be rough weeks coming up.
No one in sight.
Only in the 20s coming up this week.
So. Better than the teens and the ones and
Well, a little bit better, I guess. You know. By the way, it's now up to 8 degrees. So
hey,
a balmy 8 degrees.
I heard it was below freezing in southern Florida.
Yeah, that's got to be a rare occurrence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In Miami,
made me feel better.
Miami,
that you're not there anymore.
Yeah, it was.
Can you
not
believe
as bad.
It?
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, listen, you know, these things happen. I know, Phil. Yeah. I like looking at the. I'm a 10-day forecast guy.
You go out that far,
like
huh? I don't like to do that.
I'm not looking at rain or not. There's no way you know if it's going to rain in 10 days.
That's true.
I call baloney on that. But the temperature, and I'm like, oh, okay, so in 10 days from now, it's going to be 38 degrees, and so I just got to get through the next 9 days, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. That's a good way of thinking about it.
It's a good way of thinking about it until 10 days from now is just as bad as today, and you're like, oh, my God, it's just not going to end.
That's why I don't know.
We just don't know.
Too far ahead.
Yeah, right.
You don't look?
I don't look that far.
Well, look, here's
I live in the moment.
Tomorrow is February, right? Tomorrow's first day of February. So that brings us closer to spring. So there's one way of looking at it, right?
How about this?
Okay. You know?
It was yesterday. It was last appointment. It was light outside when the people left.
That's right.
Yeah,
progress.
Listen, we'll see what Puxatony Phil says next week.
Sorry. Excuse me. You live in the moment, but you care about it.
Well, that's a big event.
A groundhog prognostic.
Yeah, groundhog day is Monday,
a big deal. I base my life around it. So.
Wow, it's a big day because it happens to be like a top 10 movie of all time.
That's a great one.
It's a great movie. Yeah, I love it.
John, you were paying Temptations before.
Yeah.
Sugar Pie Honeymoon.
Four Tops,
Oh, it was Four Tops.
Motown, you're in the same
Motown era, but I watched Remember the Titans with my son recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's funny how like one thing or a movie can get someone into like all of a sudden he likes Motown.
Which is fun for me. He's entering a world of pure joy. And
it's exciting. He starts exposing to that music.
Just wait till he knows about a guy named Otis Redding.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
Good.
Let me ask you a quick question before we get to our topic.
Yeah.
Would you guys ever leave the Northeast? Like, have you ever actually considered leaving the Northeast because of, like, weather or whatever?
Me, no.
So, when I moved up here from Long Island, if I wasn't, you know, barred in New York and had my license here and my knowledge here and just teacher, maybe I would have considered it.
What, like Maryland or North Carolina?
More still the West Coast, East Coast rather, never thinking about going out West.
Because I would never, because I like the seasons, and even though it's cold, it gives us something to complain about, and that's great.
Me too.
But there's going to be a day in like 2 weeks, guys, where it's like 38 degrees and sunny, and you're going to be like, wow, what a nice
day. We've turned the corner, right?
And it's called perspective.
Yeah, it's
all perspective.
Yeah.
It's also, Phil, it's also why I'm a Met fan. Because not all of life is success. In fact, most of life is failure.
Most of life. I don't know if that's pretty
pitchers and catchers report a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Very good.
Lots to look forward to.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we have a topic, Phil, long-term care insurance, and we have about 25 minutes here. We probably need about 25 hours to really get into it.
Unpack it all. Yeah.
But at the heart of it, so why are we talking about it? A lot of our clients have it. My parents happen to have it. And having recent clients who have long-term care insurance, they have some very interesting decisions about estate planning and long-term care planning, Phil, because they, by definition, they're going to have some level of help for some of those bad fact patterns.
Yeah, there's an intersection between the two, the long-term care and estate planning. It's one of the questions we obviously always ask during the consultation, because it's a very important factor in terms of how we plan the estate and what our considerations are and what our goals are. Even when someone has a long-term care insurance policy, we want to see it. We want to know the details about it, because there's many different iterations of a long-term care insurance in terms of what the daily coverage is, what the premiums are.
Yeah.
Does it have special rules like the New York State Partnership Plan that we can touch on in a little bit? So many different versions of it, but it's really important to look at it closely.
And it's not like a check the box, you have it. Okay, so we move on and never talk. It almost is like a false sense of security sometimes, because people say they have it, and when we do start to talk about the limits and what the reality is about long-term care costs.
Yeah.
And then something later on called an elimination period and all that, you still need to plan. And then, oh, by the way, long-term care insurance is not an estate plan. It's just insurance.
Yeah. It's certainly not an end-all be-all. It's a piece of your puzzle. And sometimes it's a really helpful piece, but you can pretty much, I could say, never rely solely on it.
So let's start with what it is. So long-term care insurance is insurance. You guys have car insurance, you have health insurance, you can have other kinds of insurance in your life, an umbrella policy, whatever. You are paying premiums, whether it's monthly, quarterly, annually, whatever it is, you are paying money. And then later on, if certain types of bad things happen, your insurance will then help you pay for those things.
Yeah. There's those who are insurance heavy. There's those who like to, live on the edge and take risks, depending on what type of insurance you're looking at. Like, for example, you buy an appliance, Dave.
Mm.
Right? I get the insurance.
Like an oven?
An oven, a dishwasher, something like that. Like a somewhat major
not like
appliance.
A toaster, because toasters are easy to.
We'll say like, upwards of $1,000 or more appliance type.
I'm not buying insurance on an appliance.
I'm with you.
If I go
I'll roll the dice with that.
Yeah. If I go to, sometimes, like, I bought a toothbrush at Target, and it's like, do you want to buy insurance on this?
Crazy.
Like, I'm all set.
People actually go for that?
Am I
$40 toothbrush? I'm going to buy an insurance policy.
Well, I guess it depends on.
Oh, boy.
So the great things about insurance are that we don't have to bear the significant costs of health care or a car accident or repairing something. God forbid the weather, someone's pipe burst.
Yeah.
They have insurance. That's great. The downside is that we're kind of hoping, or not downside, it's just weird. We're hoping to never use the insurance, right? Like, I have term life insurance. I'm hoping, praying that'll be, I'll outlive it.
Yeah, of course.
Car insurance, I don't want to get into an accident, right? Yeah. Like, homeowners, I don't want that pipe to freeze, et cetera, et cetera. Long-term care insurance, you're paying a premium, and down the road, there'll be some help for potential long-term care needs. Sounds amazing, right? I have insurance for everything else. I might as well have insurance for that. The problem is that when it comes to like car insurance, Phil, or homeowners insurance, there are no other options, right? You're private paying or you have insurance.
Yep.
There is no Medicaid in the world of homeowners insurance. There's no Medicaid in the world of health insurance or car insurance.
Well, and it's different too, because sometimes like if I buy a car, I buy a house, if I have a mortgage, if I have a loan, the lender is going to require you to get insurance as well. So sometimes it's not even a thought because you have to. And it's great to have when things go wrong regardless. But something like long-term care insurance, it's solely your choice whether or not to get it.
And it's a false choice because it's not two things. But when it comes to long-term care, it's not either I have long-term care insurance or I'm going to use up all my money.
Right.
There also happens to be estate planning and elder law planning where the use of trusts can get coverage for long-term care needs without paying premiums. And I'll say, I said earlier, my parents have long-term care insurance. Phil and I are not anti-long-term care insurance by any means.
Right.
You still need to do estate planning, and likely you're still going to need to supplement that policy because of the different limits that we're about to talk about. So it's insurance, Phil, and they're going to cover you when a certain event happens.
Yeah, so take a step back for a second. When you say, you know, it covers long-term care, you know, give some examples of how people are using this. When we say long-term care, what are we talking about exactly?
So I was literally turning it over to you to say that.
And I can answer my own question.
So we're talking about activities of daily living. So yes. Long-term care. So it's not going to cover health care. It's not going to cover rehabilitation. It's going to cover activities of daily living, bathing, toileting, transferring, et cetera, the types of things that Medicaid would cover. So we're talking about a world where health insurance isn't going to do a lick for us, and long-term care insurance, when we are exhibiting these symptoms, yeah, when our life is like that, maybe when we have a diagnosis of dementia, we can then say, hey, insurance, here's the event, right? I just got into a car accident. Here's my police report, insurance company. Here are photos. Long-term care, it's submitting a claim. And that's where I guess you'd say the problems could start.
Well, first, there's different variations of that as well, right? So long-term care is we have in the home, we have a situation where someone needs care, but they're in their house still. They have aides coming, therapists coming to the house to help them, to help care for them. That can be quite expensive. That's a version of long-term care that the insurance will pay for. Then there's some kind of intermediary facility, like an assisted living facility that's not just someone doing, helping with things like cleaning and cooking and laundering. Yeah. It's someone who's actually helping with, again, activities of daily life, bathing, feeding oneself, things of that nature. And then obviously the highest level we always look at from the worst case scenario perspective, the most expensive version, skilled nursing home care. And all those things do fall under the purview of long-term care insurance that it'll cover. But where you're heading right now is how do they start that coverage? What is the event? You know, it's easier when you look at it in terms of, like you mentioned, the car accident or a tree falling on my house. That is one event. I show proof of that event and boom, insurance kicks in, right? Long-term care is a little bit different. Sometimes the event is not as obvious. Someone's diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia, or they're not even diagnosed, but they're showing signs of cognitive decline and they need care. What are the steps to take? And, you know, one of the first things we have to do is get that person assessed and then submit a claim to the insurance company for them to recognize that, yeah, we think that you're at that level where you need the care that falls under the specifics of our policy. And now we're going to start an elimination period.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
So in a minute here, Phil, do you want to say what an elimination period is?
Yeah, I'll describe briefly and we'll come back to it. But the elimination period is a set number of days that you have to privately pay after the insurance company says, yeah, you qualify at the level of care you need, before the insurance will kick in and start paying anything. And, you know, I think the ones we see often are like 90 days, 100 days, I would say, it may be on average for most policies. Hey, guess what? That's a long time.
3 months.
That's a long time if you're paying privately at a high rate.
15 grand, 3 months, 45 grand.
Easy, right? Yeah. And, you know, we'll come back in a moment when we come back about how do we, you know, when should you start, when should you try to start that elimination period? But yeah, that could be quite expensive.
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You're listening to 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
Phil, it's 8 degrees still.
Yep.
Although we're expecting at some point during the next 15 minutes, it'll go to 8.5 degrees.
Wait, I'll check.
No. Okay, you got to reload. Oh, still 8.
No. No,
that's not
fine,
yet. Though.
You know what? That's fine.
Still early.
It builds character.
Yeah.
Phil and I were talking about long-term care insurance in the first half, and if you were sick and tired of hearing about it, sorry, because we're going to keep talking about it, because there's a lot, Phil.
So
Phil got into, we both did the fact it's insurance, and then we talked about what are these triggering events, right, Phil? You said, well, what does that mean that you have insurance? When does it happen?
Yeah.
And we talked about a claim, and then you brought up elimination period. And what that is just a waiting period. And I hate that they call it elimination period. Who do you think they're waiting to get eliminated, Phil?
Yeah, it's just a negative word.
It is really.
If you're the insurance company and, if there are any long-term care insurance companies listening, I'm sure you're great. But insurance is a business. And their business makes more money if they're paying less claims.
Of course.
And we all want to think, and I hope they do, accept and approve all valid claims. Sometimes they have legitimate questions about a claim. Sometimes they deny it. I'm not going to say, Phil, that they do anything wrong when they deny. But let's just say from hearing from clients, a lot of times you would think absolutely this is a long-term care event.
Yeah.
Long-term care situation, and they're denied.
Well, they're certainly going to closely scrutinize it. They're not just going to take your word for it. At the very least, and it's your obligation or your family's obligation, whoever your support system is, to advocate to get that to go through and show that it truly is an event that meets the claim, policies. And, it's one of those things, too, when it's sometimes people think that it has to be a really extreme situation for me to make that claim. And the problem there is that often you've waited, I don't want to say you've waited too long, but you've waited to a point where you're in crisis mode and the cost that you're potentially privately paying for care at that point is extremely high. And if you're already at an extremely high private pay rate and you have to do that for another 90 to 100 days, that's going to be a lot more money.
Yeah. And so what do we do? Well, you just factor that in. So how much does long-term care insurance cost? What's the premiums? And then it's going to be some level of private paying during that elimination period. And then, hoping that our claim has been kind of approved.
But if you're listening and you have it and you think that, hey, maybe I qualify, it can't hurt to try. Like maybe you do submit a claim too early, right? But you want to advocate and start it when it's a lower level of care so that the elimination period costs is less is the goal.
Yeah, and I'll go one step further. If you have long-term care insurance, call us, come into the office. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Let's look at it because, by the way, that only covers long-term care. We still need to worry about, powers of attorney, decision-making, healthcare proxies, decision-making. We still need to know where you want to leave all your money. I still want to avoid that thing called probate, even if you have the creme de la creme of long-term care.
Does nothing with probate at all, right?
The problem is that even when you have, those other things in place, I'm not sure how much your long-term care insurance is going to cover. Not from a, do you need it or not? I mean, what are the coverage limits that you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil, I have long-term care insurance. It's $150 a day. Well, let's throw a party, and then we'll come up with another $400 a day.
A day,
$400 more for the nursing home. So it's not like you check the box and you're done, right? The limits matter. And even when it's a small amount, if it turns out we needed long-term care, I'll say, I'm so happy we had that kind of insurance because the more money in the fact pattern, the better. And insurance is great if it turns out we needed it. The problem is premiums are a lot in the world of long-term care insurance these days. And the reason why this is the topic this week, guys, is because two clients this week came in. They need to do an estate plan. They do have long-term care insurance, varying degrees. And both of them, one of them already had a trust, one of them didn't have a trust. Both of them are now pursuing a Medicaid asset protection trust, Phil. They're not dropping their insurance. they're going to continue to pay their premiums, but what their plan is to say, all right, well, I still need to make sure we're avoiding probate. I still need to make sure all these things. I also don't like these letters I'm getting saying that my premium's going to go up to $8,000 a year.
Yeah, which that's, we see a lot, unfortunately.
That seems like a lot of money every year. And imagine this. We're like, unfortunately, they're in great health. Ironically, because they're likely going to pay, God willing, right? Yeah. It's insurance. God willing, 10 more years of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I said to them, well, look, Murphy's Law, if you ever drop your insurance, you're going to need it the next day. But why don't we go into the world of Medicaid Trustville and say we're going to otherwise also protect our money like we normally would with a trust.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put our house in there. We're going to put some extra money in there. And you know what? When we do get those letters in the future, maybe we are going to lower our you know, coverage, because that's the letters they get. They say, well, your premiums are going to go to blank, but if you want to stay here, let's lop a year off of your coverage.
Yeah.
And if you end up doing that, I want you to know, well, my assets are already protected because I did that Medicaid trust. And at some point, you could even, if you wanted to, business decision, you could even decide to drop the insurance because everything's already gone through the look-back period. So I like, even when you have insurance, still using the Medicaid trust, because the only negatives of it, perceived negatives, are that it's irrevocable, but we all know that's not what it means. You know?
Well, that's where I really like these insurance policies for individuals that come to see us and they have them. It's again, a piece of the puzzle, but it can go, work really well together with proper planning. You have that policy in place, and at the same time, we do some asset protection planning, like a Medicaid asset protection trust. And, you know, at the very least, that insurance policy can help in terms of, let's say I do this Medicaid trust, right? And let's say we're doing it for someone who's a little bit older or whatever what the case is, and they get really ill and they need a nursing home in less than 5 years, right? We all know, we talk about this all the time, there's a 5-year look back. So the assets have not been in the trust for 5 years yet. They're not protected for that purpose yet. But sometimes that long-term care insurance policy can help us pay privately to get us to that 5-year look back. You know, maybe we do have a rather strong policy that pays, you know, $300-$400 a day at a nursing home, plus I have my income. It can help us get to the 5 years. Then, right, the trust is protecting the assets in it, and we can potentially apply for Medicaid. So it works really well in that sense sometimes as a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And like you said too, sometimes we look at it, we deal with people who are a little bit younger and they do it, and that 5 years has already passed. We're meeting with them again and we're looking at everything, and they get one of those letters and it says your premiums are going to increase by 400%. And we said, well, let's look at it and let's, maybe if you have a financial advisor, let's have them part of the conversation. And does it make sense to continue paying that premium or paying that higher premium? Or do we lower the coverage and keep the premium? Do we get rid of it completely? And these are all factors that we need to consider. But, you know, it's just a part of your plan. The estate planning portion is really important as well.
Yeah. And just from a dollars and cents standpoint, if there was a way for me to, you know, cover my future car insurance needs at, you know, with one payment in 2026 of, you know, X amount, you know, thousands of dollars, you know, $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000, whatever it is, one time.
Yeah.
And I have insurance for the rest of my life, rather than paying premiums every quarter, I kind of like that. And unlike those other areas of insurance, in the world of long-term care, you actually do have this trust option to otherwise protect your assets, all while avoiding probate. And so in a world where there's two choices, private paying or long-term care insurance, sign me up every day. In a world where there's multiple choices, well, let me hear these other choices, because, you know, insurance is insurance.
Well, and again, we can't bank on one thing as an end all be all. I had a fact pattern too just yesterday, a potential planning client who has a New York State partnership plan. And not to get too much into it, but that's, we call that like the platinum standard long term care insurance.
You call that the platinum standard?
That's what I call the platinum standard. You don't call it the platinum standard?
I don't think I've ever said the words platinum standard.
So we don't.
I say it's a Cadillac.
Cadillac. That's equivalent. Okay. Platinum Cadillac. All right.
Okay.
But so the idea of it, and they only offered these for a short time, was New York State partnered with a few insurance companies with the idea of the policy will pay out for a number of years if you need long-term care. And once that ends, you can automatically qualify for Medicaid regardless of your assets and income. And this guy knew that they had it, him and his wife, and thought they were set. But now they're talking about they're likely going to be moving to another state in a few years. And guess what? That policy with those plans where, hey, Medicaid is automatic, that's in New York. It's a New York State partnership agreement. It's not going to necessarily work that way in another state.
There's some reciprocity here and there, but point taken, because you're kind of going off of some guarantees on it. Yeah, I mean, if you got it and it makes sense for your budget, wonderful. But, you know, the trick with the partnership plan was, okay, it's a 3-year policy, let's say, and then you're Medicaid eligible after it. So that's good.
Yeah.
Right. And the average stay in the skilled nursing facility is less than 3 years.
Right. So for that,
it's a carrot at, you know, in front of the mule. And I don't think the mule's ever going to get to that carrot, because it's unlikely, just from a, dollars and cents and life expectancy standpoint. And, you know, like I said, everything's a business. Hey, Herzog Law Firm is a business, right? Mm-hmm. Right. We're a for-profit business, right? So is long-term care insurance, and you better believe that they're always doing the math so that your premiums times X amount of people who have policies and the life expectancy charts and the long-term care expectancy charts, they're doing the math and saying, okay, we're going to make money on this kind of fact pattern. We're going to offer a benefit that most people likely will never see. And, you know, that's just how it works. And there's nothing wrong with that. My parents have that partnership plan. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They pay every year, Phil, not for themselves. They're paying every year for my brother and I to make sure that one day we inherit as much as possible, that they weren't forced to private pay. And sometimes people think, Phil, that I need, you know, long-term care insurance to make sure I don't end up in a Medicaid nursing home. And that's when I say, all right, time out. Because if you know of a Medicaid nursing home, then I need to go back to law school or something, because there's no such thing.
There's a big misconception around that these are facilities that are a lesser level of care, or that if you're in a facility and you're a Medicaid paying patient, you're going to get a lesser level of care.
Because every skilled nursing facility in the Capital Region in the Hudson Valley, they take Medicaid.
Yes.
They don't want to necessarily take Medicaid. They all take Medicaid. We have clients in every nursing home that are on Medicaid at this point. Sometimes people start on Medicaid. Sometimes people spend down for a couple of months or maybe a year. Sometimes people spend down over years and years, lots of, you know, buco bucks. But whatever it is, eventually you could be on Medicaid.
That's correct. And there's no big, you know, red sign over your room, by the way, that says Medicaid client.
Right? It's blue.
It's blue.
It's a blue sign.
That's correct.
It's 9 degrees. No, it's not. It's 8 degrees.
Still,
I want it so bad.
Well, not to harp on the long-term care. I just wanted to throw one other thing out there. You know, because again, we're not saying that it's a bad idea. It's just it's a consideration. It's not an automatic.
1,000%. Absolutely correct.
But there's different versions of it now too. You know, one that's I've seen some advisors talk about and might make sense for some people. It's not a straight policy. It's not one that I just pay and I use it or lose it type of thing. You can bundle it with a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have a life insurance policy.
Or riders for this and that.
Yeah. So there's a rider on a life insurance policy that if I need long-term care, I can access the death benefit portion of that policy while I'm alive to pay for that long-term care. And, you know, the benefit there is if I don't use it, there's still that death benefit when I pass away that'll go to my family or whoever. Now, I'll say that those policies are even more expensive because you're putting that rider on there. There's an additional cost. But at least it's not one where, hey, I don't use it, I lose it. So I think it's a good thing to consider if it's something you're thinking about and to talk to a professional about it. But at the same time, also talk to estate planning and elder law attorneys as part of that equation.
Phil, we have about 10 seconds to get 3 callers.
Come on, guys. Bang, bang, bang.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.